Genesis chapter 31, verse 37. And Jacob took him rods of green poplar, and of the hazel and chestnut tree, and pilled white streaks in them, and made the white appear which was in the rods. And he set the rods which he had pilled before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs, when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods, and brought forth cattle, ring-straked, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob did separate the lambs, and set the faces of the flocks toward the ring-straked, and all the brown in the flock of Laban. And he put his own flocks by themselves, and put them not unto Laban's cattle. And it came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob led the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. And when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger Jacob's. And the man increased exceedingly, and had much cattle, and maidservants, and menservants, and camels, and asses. And he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. And the Lord said unto Jacob, Return unto the land of thy fathers, and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. The book of Galatians chapter 1 is the clearest defense that you will find anywhere in the Bible on its supernatural nature and that of the Christian gospel. The Apostle Paul, for some reason, made it abundantly clear that his gospel was not plagiarized, nor a copy, nor a fake. When you read this chapter, you sure get the message that he is totally intolerant of the idea that there is more than one gospel, more than one way to heaven, or that it doesn't matter. Verses 1 to 5, Galatians 1, are a clear definition of the gospel. The risen Christ has accomplished his mission to deliver sinners from this present evil world. He insists that the gospel is the divine purpose of God. It never was man's idea. It was totally, only, and always from God, whether a sinner was saved in the Old Testament times or the New. For this, Paul is full of praise and gives all glory to the Father. Listen to his doxology. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. In Paul's mind, that settles it. How dare anyone even dare to introduce an alternative gospel? It is unthinkable. Haven't you heard that you don't mess with what already works? Paul is so clear on this and so sure on this that he flips his lid, as we would say in Canada, at the news that people in Galatia are moving on to accept a different message. And this different message is not mere wordplay or tautology. It is a whole different gospel of a totally different kind. It is not the gospel of grace, but a phony gospel of works. Paul uses the word pervert. Men perverted the true gospel. That meant it was 180 degrees turned around. It was not a little departure from the truth. It was a radical perversion of it, so that it was not the gospel at all. I tremble about this when I think about the religions that are advanced in Canada, this country of supposed multi-faith, multi-message, or multi-everything, which leads to multi-confusion. So many poor souls sit in churches where they are told that if they try hard enough, they will be fine for heaven. They are confirmed in their worldly lifestyles and told the lie that deep down in all men there is some good. They are good sinners, good worldlings, and good followers of human wisdom. If Paul the Apostle showed up, he would clear the decks and preach the gospel of Christ by grace alone, without works. Listen to his words in Galatians 1 verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul's gospel was not baked in the oven of human reason. It came from heaven. He received it not from other apostles or other religions or any other means. He received it by revelation from the Lord directly. Paul was in the upper world divinity school. Then came his punchline. Here he lowers the boom on preachers of other gospels, which are not the gospel at all. He said, let them be accursed. Hear Paul's words in Galatians 1 verse 9. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that we have received, let him be accursed. Accursed means to be cast out. Paul gave no tolerance to false preachers of false gospels. They had no place in the New Testament church. They were to be excommunicated, accursed, cast out, that means. What I see in Canada is that believing people, even saved people, are too tolerant of false preachers. They continue to attend, sit under their ministry, drinking in the Kool-Aid of apostasy, supporting them with their tithes, while souls perish for want of the true gospel. Paul says, let them be accursed, let them be cast out. If that is not going to happen, then the Christian has the responsibility to separate from them. God says, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. If this short call to support the true gospel and reject the false strikes a chord with you, then please read Galatians chapter 1. Our gospel is from heaven. It is not of man. It cannot be added to by human wisdom, all because the Christian gospel is by revelation. Do you get that? If so, this is our call to all Canadians to come back to the true gospel, which is back to the Bible. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and I trust the Lord will speak on to your heart today. Let's have our hymn now, and then straight to our message on Jacob and his get-rich-quick scheme.
Thank you.
Today I want to tell you about Jacob's get-rich-quick scheme. Jacob had absolutely nothing when he left home and went up to the land of Syria, to Haran, and where he met with Laban and Rachel. He really had next to nothing. And he was just visiting for a time to find a wife. Yet, surprisingly, after 20 years, he had so much. He had wives, he had 12 children, he had large flocks and herds of sheep, goats, camels, asses. In fact, he had way more than Laban. And you might be wondering, how could that be? The last verse of Genesis chapter 31 gives us a summary of the increase that God had given to Jacob. It says, "And the man increased exceedingly, and had much cattle, and maidservants, and menservants, and camels, and asses." Now, Jacob's get-rich-quick scheme started after the birth of Joseph. For at that time, Jacob wanted to leave Laban and return home to Canaan to see his father. He had been away now for 14 years at that time. So he said to Laban, "Let me go, that I may return home to my country to see my father." But Laban stalled him from letting Jacob go, and he pleaded with him to stay. For he knew that under Jacob's care, his flocks had multiplied. Jacob was good at caring for animals, and God had blessed his work many times. To win Jacob's heart and to keep him as his herdsman, Laban asked Jacob how much he would need to pay him in wages to continue to look after his flocks. Jacob quietly answered that he wanted no wages, but he did want one thing. He wanted Laban to agree that whatever sheep were born into the flocks with brown wool or spotted brown wool, that they would become part of his own personal property, his herds. And that would apply to the sheep and to the goats. Now Laban, who was very shrewd, he thought this was a no-brainer. He didn't even have to think about that, because the number of sheep that were born normally with brown wool or spotted marks of wool that were brown was very rare. And so he thought, this is a huge bargain. Well, no problem. And so he made a firm binding arrangement with Jacob that he would be his herdsman, continue working for him, and that all the sheep that were born with brown wool would become Jacob's, and all the sheep with brown marks on them, with various marks of spotted brown wool, they would also become Jacob's own sheep and goats. And so the deal was struck. Laban was happy because he would still have his daughters with him, he would still have his grandchildren with him, and he would have Laban to be his herdsman, who God really blessed for so long. But Laban was not happy for long, because with God's blessing, Jacob found a way that many of the sheep and goats in his care were born with brown wool or spotted brown. Jacob used white sticks that he put into the watering troughs so that when the sheep came to drink water, they looked at these white sticks. And then when they conceived, and later when lambs or kids were born to these sheep and goats, many, many of them were born with brown wool. And so this was causing Jacob's herds to grow and grow, and Laban's herds to diminish. And Jacob was able to put the strong sheep and goats to have these lambs and kids, so his herds were larger and healthier. And so Jacob was growing his herds, but Laban was losing out, and he was not happy. He was growing angry. Now, for years, Laban had tried to use Jacob as cheap labor to keep him poor. So, in his goodness, God now gave to Jacob this marvelous increase to Jacob. God even met with Jacob and confirmed that this increase of flocks was God's blessing freely given unto him. Jacob was a very skilled herdsman, but it was God who was multiplying the flocks of brown and spotted sheep. And this went on for 6 years. 6 years of multiplying Jacob's herds and Laban losing out in his herds. And so Laban became angry, and his friendship toward Jacob was no longer there, and life was becoming difficult. So what was Jacob to do? At that difficult time, God met with Jacob and said, "Return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee." Jacob told his wives that the God of Bethel, who had spoken him at first in a dream at Bethel, the place that he had marked with stones, the stones that he had used for a pillow, that same God of glory had spoken again, saying, "Now arise, get thee out of this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred." It was God's will for Jacob to go home to see his father Isaac. Thankfully, his wives, Rachel and Leah, were quite ready to obey God. They were ready to pack up and go with Jacob. And so the journey southward began. The Bible says that Jacob put his wives and sons upon camels. He ordered his servants to round up all his sheep and his goats to move them out for the long journey to the land of Canaan. But where was Laban at this very time? What was happening to him? At the time of Jacob's departure, Laban had been at some other place shearing his sheep. And Jacob used this opportunity to get out of Syria and away from Laban, out from under his stern control. Jacob knew that Laban would have tried to stop him from taking his wives and his children and from taking all of those flocks. And so by the time that Laban discovered what Jacob was doing, they were all long gone. Now truly, in 20 years, 7 years he had worked for Rachel, 7 years for Leah, 6 years for these sheep, and in those 20 years, Jacob had been greatly blessed by his God. God's promises were real to guide and provide. God's presence was real to keep him safe. The blessing of God upon Jacob started that day when Isaac laid his hand upon Jacob and gave him the covenant blessing. It was not because Jacob was better or wiser or stronger that he prospered, but it was because the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and now the God of Jacob put his favor upon him and therefore blessed him and fulfilled every promise to him. Now, how do we get that blessing in our lives? We need to know and trust in God's Son, the Lord Jesus. The Bible says that all blessings flow down to us through the Lord Jesus, who is the Savior of sinners. This is true Because Jesus is God's covenant son. In him is every covenant blessing. The Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." That's Ephesians 1 verse 3. Now, throughout his earthly life, everyone who met the Lord Jesus and received his grace were marvelously blessed. They had untold heavenly riches, such as pardon from sin, peace with God, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. They are given spiritual eyes to know and to love God. And this is the greatest blessing that you could ever receive. Some put their hope in making money or earthly riches, but Christians enjoy the true riches of God's eternal kingdom. And the Lord Jesus said when he preached on the Mount, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." To be a member of God's kingdom is to be very rich in grace and in mercy. It gives you power to live for God now in this world, and it guarantees you a home in heaven where you will worship and serve the Lord forever and ever. Now, this is not because you are better or because you are stronger, but because you have the Lord Jesus in your heart. And I want to close with the words of a beautiful song about the true riches that every Christian possesses by faith in the Lord Jesus. No, I won't sing it, but here are the words. "I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today." Make that choice. Make that your decision, that you'd rather have the Lord Jesus. Trust him. Call on him to be your Savior, and you will be truly blessed, rich in grace.
It was my sin I dwelt in there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. Thank you.
It is indeed the Christian's testimony that we would rather have Jesus than anything. The things of this world will rust, they will corrupt, they will be stolen and subject to all manner of problems. But to have Christ as your Savior, well, that is the crown jewel. That is to know the Lord and to have every blessing from God the Father. My heart's desire is that the Lord will minister to your heart and call you to saving faith in the Lord Jesus. But that also means that you must take heed to the gospel, the call to faith in the Son of God, because God commands all men everywhere to repent of sin and believe on his Son. And whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the promise. But you have the responsibility to repent and believe. If I can be of any personal help to you in your search to know the Lord, if you have questions about the way of God's salvation, if you'd like me to open up the Bible and read with you and have you pray, calling on the Lord to save you, that will be my delight. Make sure you take down the details that are coming up now in these closing announcements. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of this broadcast or would like to hear it again, you can go to ltbs.ca. You will also see ways you may support this gospel ministry. And you will find details about our church in Scarborough, where Reverend Larry Saunders is the minister, in Port Hope, where Reverend Reggie Cranston is the minister, in Barrie, where Reverend Anthony DiDerno is the minister, and in Buffalo, where Reverend Phil Owen is the minister. You will find all their details at ltbs.ca. If I can be of personal help, I would love to open the Bible to talk and pray one-to-one with you so that you may know you are saved and sure of it. Call me at 604-897-2040 or email me at ltbsradio@gmail.com. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Until the same time next week on this station, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His loving care.